goodbye heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou.
Matthew and Gunnar of Nelson will take the stage at Daryl's House Club in Pauling, New York on August 12th. To remember their late father, who, among other things, had the first number one hit on Billboard with Poor Little Fool.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall. Poor little fool. Oh, yeah. I was a fool.
Additionally, between 1957 and 1973, the rock and roll pioneer Ricky Nelson had 53 songs in Billboard's Top 100 with hits like Traveling Man, Believe What You Say, and A Teenager's Romance.
Is fickle or true? A teenager's romance is red hot or blue. You're either in misery or high on a crest. A teenager's romance is like all the rest.
Ricky's flair for rockabilly, natural ability to sing a heartfelt ballad, and familial connection with the popular television show The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet allowed him to become a pop icon who received a Golden Globe nomination while starring with John Wayne in Rio Bravo. As the youngest of the only rock and roll dynasty in history to have number one hits for each generation, Matthew and Gunnar Nelson bring their triple platinum-selling talent to honor their father in a show entitled Ricky Nelson Remembered. Their 1990 rock debut produced four charting singles, including I Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection.
Here she comes.
Just like
more than ever, only time will tell. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Gunnar Nelson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you so much, and it's a great pleasure to hear such an articulate radio host. It was really impressive, truly.
Well, thank you very much. Give us a sense of what brought you to want to do this for yourself and ultimately for your father.
Well, for years and years and years, Matthew and I never played any of our dad's tunes. We were asked to do it, usually by people that were interviewing us or reviewers who, when we released our first record, were really impressed by where we came from. You know, Matthew and I were able to sell millions of records to a bunch of kids who had no idea who Ricky Nelson was at the time. And so we wanted to make our own mark, I'm sure like our father did when he released his material originally. And we did that. We got a chance to do that. But we were out on tour with Peter Frampton and Styx. And Peter walked up to us at our sound check before that day's show, and he just said, fellas, you know, I grew up with your dad's music in England, and I was really inspired to play guitar by hearing that solo on Hello, Mary Lou. Do you mind if I actually join you on stage for that song tonight? And Matt and I kind of looked at each other and went, man, Peter Frampton actually was a fan. This is kind of cool. And it was kind of that last domino to fall to inspire us to put together a very special show, which we did. We decided that in order to do our dad a real service and pay him the respect that he deserved, we put together a special show called Ricky Nelson Remembered, which is best described as a high-energy rock concert meets an A&E biography episode, meaning we've got, of course, all those great songs that he did. I mean, he sold 230 million singles in his life, had over 40 top 40 hits. But the hardest part was filtering through that great body of work to come down to songs like Traveling Man, Hello, Mary Lou, Poor Little Fool, Lonesome Town, I Got a Feeling, Believe What You Say, teenage idol, garden party, on and on and on, and put that around these great video clips that we're able to pull from, because our dad was arguably the most televised rock star in history, too, having 435 episodes of The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet over 14 years to pull from. And we've put that together in a comprehensive show. It incorporates the video, the songs, the storytelling. I rip up on Matthew quite a bit, so there's a comedy element to it. And it's a really, really fun night that you get this feeling when you walk away from it. Yeah, you're going to be educated. You'll be entertained. But you're definitely going to know that our dad was truly a wonderful guy who was very down to earth, really self-effacing. And the show was put together by a couple of guys who are doing the show because they want to, not because they have to. We loved our dad. He was our best friend. We lost him when we were 18 years old.
Right.
And we really honestly feel like he didn't get, I mean, truly the industry respect that he deserved when he was alive. And we're really proud to be able to say that after 10 years of building the show and making it what it is today, that people have taken notice. And it's really great. You know, on the show, you get to see people the likes of Paul McCartney and John Fogerty extolling the virtues of Ricky Nelson and how influential he was to them when they were starting out.
What do you think it was about him and about his artistry that did go unnoticed for so long, that he didn't get the respect that you believe he deserved?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, in America, people like to believe in the whole rags to riches thing, you know, and no one was ever going to believe that our dad grew up in a shotgun shack in Tupelo. Okay, it didn't happen that way for him. And I suppose for a lot of critics, it would be far more comfortable for them to just simply write our father off as a made-for-TV success, a pretty boy that was fabricated as far as his music career was concerned. That's not the case. Our dad was the real deal. This wasn't a TV star who happened to make music. This was a musician who happened to grow up on TV. And all of that is really self-evident from the fact that there was a point in time in our dad's career after he made that great movie, The Western, with John Wayne, Rio Bravo, that he could have gone down that path of being an actor and being a movie star and leading a far more pampered life, but he chose rock and roll instead. He truly lived and died for rock and roll. And with all of that sacrifice and all of that sincerity, what we have is this amazing legacy, this body of work of incredibly credible, wonderful music that we can listen to now. I don't care. Throw a dart at it. Pick a song. It doesn't matter. Put on Lonesome Town, and it sounds as good today as it did when they recorded it back then. And that is what's wonderful for people to be able to rediscover. It's like, If you talk to all those luminaries, like I mentioned, like, you know, gosh, Jimmy Page of Zeppelin, or Brian May of Queen, or Kris Kristofferson, or Chris Isaak, or John Fogerty, or Paul McCartney, these men were actually influenced by our father's early records. It's for them to pick up the guitar themselves in the first place. They loved it. You know, they got a little bit of an edge because they're annoyed that the critics that were around when our dad was alive were so late to the party. It's unfortunate that what they lost was not just a beautiful face and somebody who was a TV or movie star. What they really lost was an incredible musician that really deserved far more than he got when he was alive.
How much did he see of your musical career and the musical career with your brother? You were starting this out shortly before his death.
Well, I mean, that's right. We actually started playing when we were 5 years old. Our dad actually produced our very first recording session when we were 11. And Matthew and I started playing the LA club scene professionally 4 or 5 nights a week from the time we were 12 years old up until we were 18. We lost our dad when we were 18. And when he came off the road, he would come down and he would go to a local LA nightclub and see us as we developed. And as we got better and we talk about music and do all that. And unfortunately, our dad was not around to actually see our public success. I mean, he got to see us, you know, putting in our 10,000 hours in the L.A. clubs, like I mentioned. But he wasn't around for the MTV success or anything like that. We definitely felt his presence there, but physically he wasn't able to be there to enjoy it with us.
The other thing, too, of course, is that your father died tragically in a plane crash, and which is different than losing a parent to age or over a long period of time with the disease. I mean, this was something that he was taken from you well before he should have been, and you have to deal with the grief and shock of that.
Well, I mean, I think it's anybody who's lost somebody that they love suddenly can relate to this. You know, the only thing that I can do as a son of and as a man is actually respond through my art, through my music. And we actually wrote a song that we play every night in the Ricky Nelson Remembered Show called Just Once More that really connects with people and really talks about that, you know, you never really know when it's going to be the last time you're able to hug somebody or you're able to say something to somebody that you love. You know, try to make sure that it's something nice. You know, because you really, honestly, you never do know. We never want to focus on any of that stuff. We, you know, it's uncomfortable to focus on that. But, you know, if you get any message, I definitely got a message loud and clear when we did lose our father. That, you know, I mean, he said goodbye and he was going on the road and stuff. And I'm still waiting kind of for the suitcase at the landing. I'm waiting for him to come home. And it's kind of like for me, he went on one of thousands of road trips that he went on. He just hasn't come home yet.
And it was just a few years after he passed that the two of you hit, and you had the act, and you became very popular. And what was that like to go through that, number one, and then also to go through that in the shadow of your father without your father there?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, it's important to note that we were lucky enough to sell 10 million records to a bunch of kids, again, who had no idea who Ricky Nelson was. So any pressure that was put on us being sons of was really self-imposed. You know, as far as our audience was concerned, the one that we connected with, they really didn't care. But for us, you know, as far as pressure is concerned, you know, the only thing I will say is that we were raised with a certain level of quality implied. You know, we had to uphold the family name and we had to do our best work. I have no regrets. We definitely did our best work, and no one can take the work away from you when you're working your entire life for something. You know, it's kind of a drag again that he wasn't around, because it would have been kind of nice to talk about it and laugh about it and enjoy the success together. But you know, then again, if I hadn't had the influence that I had of that great social proof of having the Stone Canyon Band rehearsing in my house when I was a toddler, and music always around, and our dad's musical renaissance going on right in front of my very eyes when I was just learning how to be a musician, where he was writing songs for the first time, I wouldn't have been as inspired, as influenced as I was to know that actually achieving at the highest of levels in that industry was possible. You know, it was right in front of me. And that was something that I definitely always owed my dad, and something I always feel on stage to this day. Regardless of his not being able to be with us physically, he's definitely there with us in every song we sing, whether it's a Ricky Nelson Remembered Show or a Nelson Rock Band show, he's definitely still with us.
What would he have made of your hair, and when did you cut it?
Well, we're Swede, you know, we're Vikings, so he would have loved it. You know, it's important to note, you know, we were really close with Grandma Harriet.
Yeah.
And Grandma Harriet was around through all of that stuff.
Yes.
And Grandma Harriet loved the long hair. She just did. You know, I mean, it was fabulous. But, you know, you're right. I mean, look, back in that day, that none of that stuff was a record company fabrication. All those the stylings and all that, the imagery was really Matthew and my doing. Because we had just been on a writing trip to Europe, and Europe was always far more image conscious than American artists were. And I remember having a meeting with a stylist that was over there and talking through things and stuff and coming back being influenced by that. She said, you know, when people are actually choosing through the channels, at the time, MTV really was where people heard their music. It was, of its day, it was the largest radio station available to people. And she said, look, people have a half a second as they're flipping through the channels to see something subconsciously that catches their attention enough to where they want to park the channel there and kind of investigate that more fully. And so, you know, when we came out with our first look, we just wanted to be noticed. Mission accomplished. I mean, obviously that worked. then again, what we thought was over time, we were going to be able to get people to focus a lot more on the music and the quality of the songs and stuff over a career. How are we to know that we were about to go through the single largest paradigm shift in music industry history, and you know, the band Nirvana was discovered on our own label halfway through our first tour. And when we came back to LA after playing for 14 months straight, to find everybody in the world wearing flannel and radio not playing anything that wasn't from Seattle, you know, everything changed. It was like, it was worse than when there was the death of disco. Everything changed absolutely overnight. And it took us about 10 years really to recover. And during that time, we just kind of went back to the drawing board, kept on making records, kept on touring, kept on doing our thing. And fortunately, with all these years that have gone by, things have come back around full circle. And, you know, being a creature from the 80s is not quite as unhip as it used to be. But there was a time there that it was really difficult. But, you know, if you look at the parallels in our career and our father's career, it was the same thing for him. And that helped give us some inspiration. I mean, those early rockers were out there. The Sun Records guys were out there. Then all of a sudden, the whole singer-songwriter thing came into vogue. And all of those early pioneers, the architects of rock and roll, couldn't get work. And that went on for years. And during that time, rather than relegating himself to the oldies circuit, our dad basically went back to work. He learned how to write songs. He put the Stone Canyon Band together and pioneered country rock and had a comeback with Garden Party. Matthew and I have done the same thing. We just went back to the drawing board, wrote songs. And right now we're in the process of doing a brand new trip with a brand new sound that we're going to surprise people with next year that we're really looking forward to. And definitely all along, our dad's experience with reinventing himself and staying the course has been the true north in our compass.
Matthew and Gunnar Nelson will be performing at Daryl's House Club on August 12th in Pauling, New York. The show is entitled Ricky Nelson Remembered. And so ultimately, what can people expect?
Best described as a high-energy rock concert. It's an A&E biography episode led by two guys who are a combination between the Smothers Brothers and the Everly Brothers. It's nothing but fun, man. It really is. It's really one of those things. Whether or not you know, you're of the era that you know who Ozzy and Harriet or Ricky Nelson or we are, it doesn't really matter. What you're going to get connected with is a really true sense of how important rock and roll was in the development of American culture and how involved the Nelson family has been with that for the last 100 years.
Well, again, Matthew and Gunnar of Nelson will take the stage at Daryl's House for their performance of Ricky Nelson Remembered. It happens August 12th in Pauling, New York. Gunnar Nelson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing time with us, and best of luck on the road.
Well, thank you so much for having me with the roundtable here, and I do appreciate the support, and I so appreciate your listeners. Thank you so much for supporting our family for all these years, everybody.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information about the show by going to Daryl's House. It's Daryl's House Club on August 12th in Pauling, New York. Ricky Nelson Remembered, performed by Matthew and Gunnar Nelson. You can find out more on our website as well, wamc.org, where there will be a link, including this interview. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.